In a world where over 300 million people worldwide don't have a single friend, where our social circles naturally shrink after age 25, and where we lose half our close friends every 7 years, understanding the dynamics of friendship has never been more urgent. Anna Goldfarb's exploration of modern friendship was inspired by her father's reluctance to reconnect with his childhood friend Marty, a decision he never reversed before passing away from COVID-19 complications 6 months later. This poignant reminder of friendship's fragility underscores the book's mission: to help readers understand why they have the friends they do, how to nurture these connections, and how to maintain them when life gets busy. As Oprah Winfrey noted when featuring this book in her monthly selection, understanding friendship is understanding life itself. It's the foundation upon which we build our sense of belonging in the world. Modern friendship bears little resemblance to dramatic gestures of loyalty like those of Japanese pole vaulters Shuhei Nishida and Suo Oh, who famously cut their Olympic medals in half and welded them together as medals of friendship. Today, maintaining friendships means competing against work commitments, family obligations, and basic life maintenance for precious face time. Despite liking social media posts and sending check-in texts, many of us experience the paradox of having friends while simultaneously feeling we have no close friends. This reflects our modern reality. We have unprecedented freedom to choose friends across social boundaries, but this creates disparate friend groups with little cohesion. Modern friendship centers on two critical elements: how we choose to spend our time and what we give our attention to. Most friendship struggles stem from focusing on the wrong aspects, taking things personally, not knowing how to communicate disappointment, or talking ourselves out of pursuing connection. Adult friendships are increasingly endangered. Studies show that after 30, forming new friendships and maintaining old ones becomes significantly more difficult. Yet solid social networks can boost longevity by as much as 50%, comparable to quitting a 15-cigarette-a-day habit and more important to physical health than exercise or maintaining healthy weight. If we continue viewing friendships through a childlike lens, expecting them to be effortless, we'll be disappointed. In our fractured modern landscape with adult responsibilities and obligations, maintaining friendships often feels like pushing a Volvo uphill while wearing flip-flops. Society isn't structured to support adult friendships, with people marrying later, making it difficult to combine friend groups, being more geographically mobile, separating us from childhood and young adult friends, parents spending twice as much time with children than previous generations, leaving less time for friendships, and demanding work schedules. Additionally, trust in others is at historic lows, with 71% believing interpersonal confidence has worsened in the past 20 years. Our personality traits, particularly introversion and low trust, can further complicate friendship making. Friendship requires approximately 200 hours of time together to move someone from stranger to close friend, difficult to accumulate without natural proximity. Despite these challenges, we must create space for friendship because our lives improve immeasurably when we connect with people who matter to us. Modern friendship's value lies in offering what technology can't: sympathy, empathy, and compassion, making us feel that our uniqueness matters. Understanding several fundamental truths about friendship can help us navigate these relationships more effectively. First, friends will inevitably disappoint us. They'll fail to meet our needs, say hurtful things, and drop the ball in various ways. Equally important, we'll do the same to them. The key insight is understanding what we can control versus what we can't, and recognizing that perfect friendships don't exist because perfect people don't exist. Second, friendships will change. Unlike static objects, friendships are dynamic entities that grow and transform as people change. The author compares friendships to TV shows and bears, having seasons of activity, periods of closeness followed by distance. She notes that seemingly dead friendships can surprisingly revive, like TV shows rebooting years later. Third, friendships require maturity. Friendship demands self-knowledge, understanding one's emotional limits, and clearly communicating needs and boundaries. Rather than forcing closeness, mature friendship involves accepting people as they are. unlike the instant gratification of modern conveniences, friendship requires deliberate action and nuanced thought, and the investment of finite resources of time, energy, attention, and money. Fourth, you need to be okay with occasional rejection. Rejection is inevitable in friendships. No friend will be available 100% of the time. The author advises continuing to reach out despite occasional rebuffs, noting that a friend's response provides useful information about how they prioritize the relationship. Most people aren't intentionally trying to hurt us, and recognizing this helps us maintain perspective when feeling slighted. Fifth, it's on us to look for opportunities for connection. Drawing from John Gottman's research, the author explains that bids, questions, gestures, looks, or touches that say, "I want to feel connected," are fundamental units of emotional connection. People who respond positively to bids build emotional money in the bank, while those who consistently miss or ignore bids create loneliness. Finally, being someone's best friend will make you feel happier. Research reveals that being someone's best friend contributes more to life satisfaction than having a best friend. This sense of mattering to others through support and care is the antidote to loneliness. Our social networks have evolved dramatically over time. In pre-modern societies, people had concentric circles with family at center, offering high safety but low tolerance for outsiders. Modern societies evolved to intersecting circles, with more individual choice but greater uncertainty. Today's postmodern structure resembles a spoke model, with individuals at center maintaining multiple temporary connections rather than lifelong ones. This explains why many feel simultaneously connected to numerous friends, yet isolated. Having friends scattered across different life phases and locations can leave one feeling both socially rich and locally friendless. Understanding your friendship network type can help explain why you might feel supported or isolated. 1. Tight-knitters, yarn ball. Everyone in your social circle knows each other. 2. Compartmentalizers, bow tie. You maintain separate clusters of friends. 3. Samplers. You have individual friendships that don't overlap. As Dr. Jeffrey Hall notes, if your social network is fractured, your loneliness isn't your fault. Modern conditions make friendship challenging for everyone. William Glasser's choice theory explains that all behavior serves to meet 5 basic human needs: physical survival, love and belonging, power, freedom, and fun. These universal needs drive our friendship choices as we select people who help fulfill these needs in our personal quality world. We pull friends close or push them away based on which needs matter most to us at any given time. Friends who provide practical help satisfy survival needs. Those who make us feel included address belonging. Connections offering career advancement fulfill power needs. Those who accept us unconditionally give us freedom. And companions who bring joy satisfy our need for fun. Research by Apostolou and Karamari reveals people form friendships for specific reasons that align with these basic needs: social assistance and advice, survival; mating opportunities, belonging; career advancement, power; surrounding ourselves with people who possess desirable traits; and socializing to avoid loneliness, belonging. Cross-gender friendships often diminish after age 25, particularly when romantic relationships enter the picture. Research shows only 43% of married women and 54% of married men maintain close friendships with someone of a different gender. When couples face time constraints, cross-gender friendships are frequently sacrificed to preserve marital harmony. Rather than ranking friends like a competition, it's more helpful to recognize friendship tiers that shift based on life circumstances. Drawing on Robin Dunbar's research on friendship circles, the author presents 5 friendship tiers. 1. Bathtub friends, 1 to 2 closest confidants. 2. Jacuzzi friends, 2 to 5 inner circle supporters. Swimming pool friends, 10 to 15 shoulder to cry on connections. Bonfire friends, about 50 contacts. Water park friends, approximately 150 casual acquaintances. Understanding these tiers helps manage expectations and prevent disappointment. like adjusting expectations at a slow restaurant by bringing a book, recognizing friendship tiers helps us adapt our expectations to the current reality of relationships, not how they were in the past. These relationships require significant time investment, about 200 hours to develop a close friendship, which explains why school and work friendships form easily, but maintaining connections in adulthood proves challenging. Daniel Kahneman's groundbreaking research identifies two distinct thought systems that guide our decision-making. The intuitive system, system one, which operates quickly, automatically, and emotionally, and the analytical system, system two, which engages in slower, more deliberate reasoning. These systems typically work in tandem, with intuition providing immediate gut reactions, while analytical thinking draws from past experiences and learned wisdom. In friendship selection, both systems play crucial roles. Initial attraction often stems from System 1, while deeper relationship development requires System 2's careful consideration. Our intuitive responses to potential friends are shaped by numerous factors: shared experiences, similar backgrounds, compatible communication styles, and even subtle nonverbal cues. While these quick judgments can be valuable, they may also be influenced by unconscious biases or superficial similarities that don't necessarily predict lasting friendship compatibility. Friendships chosen purely on intuition may overlook important compatibility factors. A wholehearted approach to friendship requires a balanced evaluation of both emotional connection and practical alignment. Research shows that friends significantly impact our physical health, mental well-being, career trajectories, and even longevity. Studies indicate that people with strong social connections have lower stress levels, better immune function, and greater resilience during challenging times. The author emphasizes the importance of regular friendship audits, encouraging readers to thoughtfully examine whether longtime friends still align with their current values, goals, and lifestyle choices. This doesn't mean dismissing old friends, but rather understanding how relationships evolve and whether they continue to serve both parties' growth. Key questions to consider include: do these friendships energize or drain you? Do they support your personal development? Are they reciprocal in terms of emotional investment? Understanding your core values helps create a framework for assessing potential new friendships and evaluating existing ones. This might include examining shared ethical principles, life priorities, communication styles, and mutual respect for boundaries. The author suggests maintaining a balance between being open to new connections while being discerning about which relationships to deepen. The most successful friendships often combine initial intuitive attraction with conscious cultivation and maintenance. This involves regular check-ins, open communication about expectations, and willingness to address conflicts constructively. By understanding both the emotional and rational aspects of friendship selection, we can build more meaningful, lasting relationships that contribute positively to our lives. No single friend can fulfill all our needs. Author Tom Rath explains in Vital Friends that healthy friendships aren't well-rounded. 83% of people report bringing different strengths to relationships than their best friends do. The key is recognizing each friend's unique contribution. Rath identifies 8 vital friendship roles: 1, builders, coach-like motivators; 2, champions, loyal cheerleaders; 3, collaborators, shared interest companions; 4, companions, unbreakable bonds for life's big moments; 5, connectors, network expanding resources; 6, energizers, spirit lifting fun friends; 7, mind openers, horizon expanding challengers; 8, navigators, advice givers who keep you on track. These roles develop organically rather than through conscious selection. When you lose a special friendship, you're grieving both the person and their irreplaceable role. Wholehearted friendship means understanding why specific friends matter to you and recognizing that one person can't fulfill all your needs. People who clearly understand what role each friend plays tend to have better friendships. This clarity establishes purpose and explains why both people maintain the relationship. Dr. Glasser identifies 7 caring habits that create connection: supporting, encouraging, listening, accepting, trusting, respecting, and negotiating differences. and 7 deadly disconnecting habits: complaining, criticizing, blaming, nagging, threatening, punishing, and controlling. When a friendship shifts from exhibiting the former to embodying the latter, it's often headed for trouble. People struggle to end dysfunctional friendships for 5 main reasons: long-standing ties, shared history makes separation difficult, strong sense of loyalty, especially when they supported you during tough times, reluctance to disrupt social networks, fear of conflict, avoiding difficult conversations, and simple ignorance about how to end friendships. When declining invitations from well-meaning friends you're not interested in pursuing relationships with, follow a 3-part approach: be gracious, thank you for reaching out, direct, I'm not interested, or my schedule is quite full, and warm, best of luck, or enjoy the nice weather. For more definitive endings, clearly state you can't dedicate more time to the friendship while maintaining politeness. Healthy, fulfilling modern friendships require 3 crucial elements: desire, diligence, and delight. Desire is the fundamental wish to spend time with a specific person, the voluntary motivation that drives friendship. Without sufficient desire, evident when someone consistently declines invitations or feels drained at the thought of connecting, a friendship simply won't progress. Diligence involves the practical actions that maintain relationships: remembering important events, being accountable, making appropriate gestures during milestones, and actually engaging with friends' recommendations. Without diligence, friendships fade like the family photo in Back to the Future. Finally, delight represents the mutual support, reciprocity, and enjoyment that makes each friendship uniquely satisfying for both people, allowing vulnerability, giving the benefit of doubt, and forgiving missteps as you learn to navigate closeness. When delight evaporates, desire plummets, and diligence decreases, leaving only a husk of friendship. New friendships often falter because we lack a clear and compelling reason to connect. The missing ingredient is what the author calls an about, a shared interest or passion that provides a foundation for connection. C.S. Lewis noted that friendship must be about something. Those going nowhere can have no fellow travelers. Dr. Dunbar identifies 7 pillars that form the basis of strong friendships: speaking the same language, growing up in the same location, having similar educational and career experiences, enjoying the same hobbies, sharing worldviews, having similar humor, and sharing musical tastes. When we identify these points of connection, we create a compelling about that transforms casual acquaintances into meaningful friends. When friendships wane, it's often because the reason for connection has become unclear or outdated. The key is crafting invitations with clear purpose, rather than vague suggestions like, "Let's grab drinks." For example, telling a writer friend, "I'd love to meet at a cafe to work on writing together," provides a specific reason to connect. When friendship lacks a clear purpose, we have several options to revitalize the connection. 1, recruit an accountability buddy to meet shared goals. 2, propose new activities that create fresh reasons to connect. 3, directly negotiate a new about with friends from different life phases. If no compelling reason emerges, it's perfectly acceptable to let the friendship hibernate until circumstances change. Diligence in friendship means prioritizing time together to keep bonds strong and healthy. While texts saying "thinking of you" feel nice, they aren't nourishing. There's no substitute for in-person connection, where spontaneity, discovery, and fun create lasting memories. Dr. Franco discovered that igniters create friendship opportunities for others through simple invitations. These proactive individuals demonstrate diligence by making clear, compelling invitations with specific reasons to connect. The secret to friendship is remarkably simple: don't be flaky. Dr. Hall emphasizes that responding, showing up, and saying yes are crucial. After just a few rejections, people typically stop extending invitations altogether. While being an igniter creates valuable social connections, it can become frustrating when you're always the one organizing gatherings without reciprocation. Despite the burden, friendship coach Danielle Bayard-Jackson emphasizes that many friendships die on the table because people are too afraid of rejection to reach out. The paradox is that we need friends most when we're stretched thin, as connecting with them actually lightens our load. Studies show even a brief daily conversation with a friend increases happiness and reduces stress. When a friend declines an invitation with "now's not a good time," it rarely constitutes personal rejection. As Hendrickson explains, situational constraints don't reflect on your worth as a friend. If you're new to initiating, start small, with voice memos, shared memories, articles, or memes. However, for vital friendships, reciprocal communication remains essential. The author's own expectations have evolved from self-centered demands in her 20s to more gracious allowances in her 40s. She argues that embracing flexible expectations is crucial for adult friendships. We must recognize we're not the center of the universe and that others have full lives with competing obligations. Unrealistic expectations cause pain because our brains are prediction machines, yet life and people are unpredictable. TV shows like Friends give us distorted pictures of friendship, making us feel our real relationships are lacking. Misaligned expectations strain relationships and block gratitude. The key is taking others' behaviors less personally and communicating our needs clearly. Using Mount Everest and Uluru as metaphors for friendship approaches, the author contrasts rigid versus flexible mindsets. Everest represents dominating nature at environmental cost, while Uluru exemplifies appreciating nature respectfully without conquering it. The author suggests treating friendships like Uluru, honoring them in evolving, respectful ways that work within life's constraints rather than forcing outcomes. Sometimes friends extend invitations we want to decline, but people pleasers often say yes to avoid disappointing others. Author Natalie Liu reminds us that no is not a dirty word, and that saying no to something means saying yes to something else. When declining invitations, the author recommends asking for clarification if needed, being polite and acknowledging the invitation, asking for time before answering, declining gracefully, or renegotiating with an alternative you'd prefer. True friendship means being the person others describe as real, smart, funny, sweet, and loyal, the friend who shows up first when called, no matter the time. Yet many of us struggle with how to comfort friends in pain. Offering comfort isn't about solving problems or managing others' emotions, it's about acknowledging their pain as valid. Rather than saying, "don't be sad," wholehearted friendship means validating their experience. It makes perfect sense why you feel sad right now. Being genuinely interested in others doesn't come naturally to everyone. To cultivate curiosity, connection expert Kat Velos suggests thoughtful questions like, "what's a memory you really love?" or "in what ways are you weird?" that invite deeper conversation. Deborah Fine recommends opening with, "what keeps you busy?" a versatile question that doesn't pigeonhole people based on career or family status. Giving advice increases one's sense of personal power by creating perceived influence over others' actions. While it feels satisfying to hear someone took your advice, dispensing it thoughtlessly creates problematic power dynamics in peer friendships. Often friends don't want solutions. They just want validation through statements like, "that does sound hard," or "it makes perfect sense you'd feel that way." The most supportive approach is often to resist problem solving and simply be present. Friendship is fundamentally about time, who we spend it with, how we prioritize it, and the shared history we build. It encompasses stories of our past connections, plans for future togetherness, prioritizing time together, extending invitations, and cherishing shared moments. Every coffee date, weekend getaway, or simple phone call represents an investment in these relationships that compound over time, creating deeper bonds and understanding. The cultivation of friendship requires both spontaneity and intentionality. It's found in the impromptu lunch meetings, the late-night conversations, and the carefully planned annual reunions. These moments, whether big or small, weave together to create the tapestry of lasting friendship. the author emphasizes that friendship represents the sum total of the decisions you made in the past, the choices you make today, and the things you plan for in the future. Modern life presents unique challenges to maintaining friendships. With busy schedules, geographic distances, and competing priorities, maintaining connections requires conscious effort and creative solutions. This might mean scheduling regular video calls, creating group chats, or planning periodic gatherings that become cherished traditions. The digital age has transformed how we maintain friendships, offering new ways to stay connected while also presenting challenges to deep, meaningful engagement. True friendship also involves vulnerability and mutual support through life's transitions, careers changes, relationships, family developments, and personal struggles. These shared experiences create bonds that become increasingly valuable as we age. Research shows that people with strong friendships not only live longer, but also navigate life's challenges with greater resilience and emotional stability. By approaching friendship with intention and understanding, we can create connections that sustain us through life's challenges. As the author's father's headstone ultimately read, "Loving husband, dad, pops, and friend, the relationships we build become our legacy." In a world where loneliness has reached epidemic proportions, particularly in developed nations, the ability to form and maintain meaningful friendships isn't just a social skill. It's essential to our well-being and happiness. Studies consistently show that strong social connections are as important to our health as proper nutrition and regular exercise, making the cultivation of friendship not just a pleasant aspect of life, but a crucial component of our overall wellness.